The next case is Zach, is it Newby?
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you. And Mineral Services Plus versus City of Waverly. It's A18-1339. Counsel, when you begin your argument, if you'd state your name for the record, please, and you both will have 15 minutes if you choose to use it, with 5 minutes for rebuttal. And we're ready if you're ready.
I am ready, thank you.
May it please the court, opposing counsel, my name is Eric Hansen. I represent the appellants in this matter, Zach Newby and Mineral Service Plus. The case before the court today is ultimately a question of statutory interpretation. The issue before your honors is whether or not Minnesota's Groundwater Protection Act serves to preempt a local ordinance.
Before we get to that question, Mr. Hansen, I recognize I'm talking about an issue now that hasn't really been fully briefed by the parties, but I have some questions here about where things stand currently. As I read the portion of the order that's number 3, the defendant, the City of Waverly, is enjoined from enforcing the new well construction ban of Ordinance 1704, regardless of whether it is valid, as to this property. Am I reading it correctly?
I believe you are, Your Honor.
So what would we do, other than offer an opinion in the abstract? Well, how would we change things by ruling for you on the declaratory judgment portion of the complaint?
I think that because it is a declaratory judgment, you have the specific case and controversy of Mr. Newby's house, but then you also have the overall validity of the ordinance, and that was challenged as part of the declaratory judgment action.
I agree it was.
And the district court's ruling effectively was that the ordinance is valid, which is what we appealed, and that due to some of the factual circumstances, it couldn't be applied retroactively.
But the retroactivity is not in front of the court.
Correct. That is the result of the order that was issued by Judge Cleary. I have a copy. I don't recall the date.
And the relief you requested below was to be able to build your well.
And to invalidate the City of Waverly ordinance, because keep in mind that I have two clients, one of whom is Mr. Newby and his particular house. The other is Mineral Service Plus, which is a well driller. And I think that
what's the standing that the well driller has?
The standing that the well driller has is that by enforcing this ordinance in Waverly, basically no one else can have a well. And that's an economic harm to my client. They cannot go out and solicit. If the next door neighbor comes and says, Zach's well seems to be working fantastically, can you do that for me? The answer is no, they can't because of this ordinance.
Was that claim of damage to future business
it's not
prospects,
in the complaint.
Was that alleged in the complaint?
I don't recall if it was alleged in the complaint.
I think it was.
Some of it had to do with how this case kind of developed as
it went.
Do we
know where Mineral Service Plus LLC lives or operates or
we do. Whether or not that's in the complaint, I mean, its location is in the complaint. It's out of Green Isle, Minnesota.
Right. So it's not a city.
I'm sorry.
I'm trying to think of how you get standing to have a declaratory, and I haven't researched this in any great detail. But how do you get standing if you're not a resident of the city to have a city's ordinance declared invalid?
Because what it is doing is it is preventing what is otherwise a legal economic activity.
But
they
that's
are
not
well
alleged, drillers. That's not alleged in the complaint.
And it's not even alleged that the well company is in Green Isle. It says it's a Minnesota limited liability company and a well construction contractor licensed in the state of Minnesota. That's all that's... I think that's the only paragraph about Mineral Service Plus in the complaint.
And that's entirely possible. I think, as Judge Rotenberg noted, I don't think the parties have really delved into this issue.
Well, counsel, let me just interrupt for a minute. You understand that on appeal, justiciability can be raised by the court and should be raised by the court on its own initiative.
Yes.
And so part of what I think we're expressing concern over is two things. First, whether MSP has standing at all to initiate or pursue this declaratory judgment action? And then secondly, whether Mr. Nubby, am I saying that correctly? Nubby's declaratory judgment action has been mooted by this injunction that now cannot, is a final decision. It cannot be challenged. It is, you know, it's a final determination. So those are things that weren't briefed. And so, we appreciate hearing your thoughts today. One of those, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but one of those thoughts that you might have is whether would briefing help the court in resolving those issues?
And as I stand here, this is obviously something I hadn't thought about until I received Judge Rotenberg's question. It's certainly something that if the court thought that supplemental briefing would be of assistance to the court, I would be happy to provide it. One note that I would like to make to the court is, and I think this is fleshed out in both sides' briefs, one of the arguments that we ultimately got from the city of Waverly was there are a number of other municipalities who are doing this exact same thing. And so the question comes, there is a broader aspect to this case than beyond just Zach Nubby's will. It is, can a municipality do this under our regulatory statutory scheme?
Does the record contain any of those? I saw that reference as well. But does the record contain any of those other ordinances, and do we know if they're the same, similar, contain other things that we should be thinking about as relates to preemption by the statute and what have you?
In all candor, it's been a long time since I argued the SJ on this, Your Honor. My recollection is that there was an affidavit that was submitted by the city. How detailed that affidavit was as to these are the particular ordinances in these other municipalities, I don't recall. I certainly know that the issue of this is being done in other localities was relevant and raised at the district court level and considered by the district court.
Although not in the district court's order.
Correct. Yes.
And this is, would you agree with me that this is factually an unusual case? It's not your run-of-the-mill case. And frankly, I was surprised to see you as appellants because you got the relief you wanted to build the well.
And the answer is it's Mineral Surface Plus that is really the appellant here because, yes, Zach Nubby got the right to build his well. Briefly, that was challenged on appeal, and then that went away. There, and this is ultimately why there are amicus in this action, is because this issue is out there percolating, so to speak.
Except where that the request in count two for relief is that it's paragraph 26 of the complaint, plaintiffs seek a declaratory judgment that they are legally entitled to construct a well on Plaintiff Subi's property.
And that is what the complaint says. I don't dispute that. I think that if the court looks to the summary judgment paperwork that was filed and what was actually litigated before the district court, it was this question of whether or not statutory preemption
and
governed.
I agree with that, but you got the relief you requested.
With regard to Zach Nubby, I agree. With regard to Mineral Service Plus, I respectfully disagree, but the complaint perhaps isn't as broad as it should be.
You didn't ask for relief with regard to the second client in your complaint, as I read the complaint.
And that, I think that is entirely possible.
Which is the question all three of us have, and I think I will request supplemental briefing with regard to mootness and other justiciability issues.
When would the court like me to provide that?
We typically do it within 10 days. We'll put an order out later this afternoon, and it will contain either a word or a page limit as well.
Absolutely. Thank
okay.
you.
And you still have almost 6 minutes.
Well, that's okay. I only need 6 minutes because it's crystal clear that the statute preempts this ordinance.
Your best argument seems to be express preemption.
It is. I believe it is, although Personally, in preparing for this, I had a hard time drawing a distinction between express preemption and conflict preemption, at least under the facts
There's
of this case.
There's express preemption. There presumably is conflict preemption, almost by definition.
Right. Yes. And so that's I viewed those as pardon me. I viewed those as kind of one and the same for our analysis today. And really, I think to jump ahead because of the time limitations, I think really my best argument goes to 103I.205, subdivision 1C, and then to the response 111 subdivision 3. And really, if the court looks to what the actual ordinance is, what is the ordinance at question, the City of Waverly ordinance, that there's, this kind of went back and forth in the briefing. Is this a complete ban or is it not? And I think that it is true that it's not a complete ban in the sense that there is a way in which one can have a private well. And that way in which you can have a private well is the most problematic component of this ordinance, because it sets up a mechanism whereby a person has to establish to the City of Waverly that they lack reasonable access to municipal water. And then there's language in the ordinance that says may have a well if they can demonstrate reasonable access. And I think that there is no way to square the sort of notification and approval that is clearly contemplated by the ordinance with the express language in 103I.205, which says cities may not require a permit or notification for wells. And I do not think that you can match those two, and that is express preemption, and that the district court erred in its analysis of looking at whether or not there was essentially wiggle room around the statute. The statute has got a broad preemption, and the language of the ordinance itself is directly preempted. I did want to touch briefly, because the parties kind of went back and forth on the point. I think that it is important to recognize that the statutory language that's being relied on by the city, 412.21 subdivision 11, that we have an express repeal of that basically 40 years later, that's what the Minnesota Groundwater Preemption Act is looking at when there's language that says, Notwithstanding 103.111, notwithstanding any other law, a political subdivision may not regulate the construction, repair, or sealing of well or borings. That, the notwithstanding any other law, what that is aimed at is what the city is now looking at today as the support for its regulation. And I do not believe that you can construe the Minnesota Groundwater Protection Act in as narrow a way as the district court appeared to do here. It is by design, expressly by design, designed to be a broad statutory, designed to cover the field, to use the third prong. The intent here is to cover all aspects of the construction of a groundwater well. And by the city is trying to draw this very nuanced claim, well, construction does not encompass location. And I respectfully submit that if you look at the whole of that Groundwater Protection Act and how it is set different responsibilities within different state agencies and how it is given broad and sweeping governance authority to the MDH and to the commissioner to set rules and regulations for groundwater wells, it's clear that the legislative intent here was to make sure that the only people that were speaking on this issue was the state. And I think that that's important for another reason, which is to understand that there was another option for the city of Waverly. This isn't necessarily the state pushing them out and saying you cannot have a role. it created a mechanism for the city of Waverly to have a role. They could have received delegation authority, and if they had the expertise and the knowledge to make these kind of decisions, could have made these kind of decisions. They didn't do that. The ordinance that they passed undermines this broader statutory scheme. And I think that that is an important issue, one that I hope that this court will reach. I certainly recognize the case controversy issue that we have to resolve, but I do think that it is ripe for resolution, and I believe that this case is it. So I would respectfully ask that the court reverse the district court's ruling with regard to the preemption issue. Thank you.
Thank you, but not with regard to being able to build your well.
And respectfully, my position on that is that you cannot, because that issue is not before the court. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
May it please the court, counsel, Jason Kubushek, K-U-B-O-U-S-H-E-K, on behalf of the city of Waverly. I'm here requesting the court affirm the district court's decision that the city of Waverly's ordinance is not preempted by Minnesota Statute 103I.
Well, let me ask you this. Okay. Since retroactivity isn't in front of us, the district court's order stands that they can build their well.
That's what the order says, yes.
And so the city of Waverly isn't going to do anything to stop them from building their well.
If they have a valid well notification with the Department of Health and can proceed forward, they are allowed to do that.
Go ahead.
In the absence of the ordinance, it's not really a permit. It's a notification, right?
Correct.
And the notification doesn't even have to be given until 10 days after the well has been constructed.
I would have to look back at the Department of Health regulations as far as the timing of the well notification. That's all done with the Department of Health.
Under subdivision 1D of 205, the person must complete the notification form prescribed by the commissioner and mail it to the commissioner by 10 days after the well is completed. It seems like it's under chapter 103I, it's not even a permit, it's a notification.
Correct.
Okay. So do we know if the well has been completed?
The well has not been completed. That's my understanding is the well has not been completed. When we started briefing this, I asked that question of the city, and obviously it's not in the record. But
it's not in the record.
It has not been constructed.
Okay, but you agree that Waverly would not, on the record as it is currently constituted and given the law of the case about the injunctive relief granted, Waverly won't stop them from drilling the well?
If they have a valid well notification, and I don't know if it's still valid or not, but if it's...
That's my question, counsel. Because I think you do have a reference to that in the part of your brief that we ultimately struck because of the notice-related appeal, but you make a reference to some kind of, I can't remember the terminology, but expiration of
right.
the...
And I don't know if it's expired or not, but if it's valid, they can certainly, under the court's order, they can construct it.
Well, would Waverly's position be that if that one is expired, and I'm not going to try and figure that out right now, if that one is expired, it would try to enforce the ordinance if there were another notification?
The city of Waverly's position is that the district court order was very specific. It was enjoined from enforcing its ordinance against that specific well notification that was given. That if that expires, the district court order does not apply to other well notifications because it's very specific.
I don't read the order that way. It says defendant city of Waverly is enjoined from enforcing the new well construction ban of ordinance 1704 as codified as it relates to the previously approved well of Zach Newby at 343 Bavaria Lane. It doesn't refer to the existing permit or notification at all. It talks about the well at that address.
And counsel, you know, this isn't intended to be some sort of a test for you to take a position for your client that you haven't had a chance to think about or get authorization for. But you can see why, given this portion of the order is final, why it enters into the court's analysis of justiciability.
Correct.
I'm not trying to put in your words in your mouth any more than that of appellant, but to the extent you think supplemental briefing would be helpful on on this question of, you know, whether the preemption issue has been mooted by the injunction that the district court issued. I mean, that is obviously a concern.
And we can talk about that. You know, if they truly wanted to build the well, they would have done it. They haven't done it. I mean, I think what's driving this, and I think kind of what leads to the questions, is that, you know, why is Mineral Services still part of this? And it's not, we have two amicus briefs here, both by entities that have very vested rights or interested rights in this. So I think there is something else driving this, but, you know, again, that's not in the record.
Do we have in the record the ordinance? I tried to look quickly. The ordinances of the other cities referenced?
Your Honor, they are in there.
They're in
there
somewhere?
They were in an affidavit submitted, I believe it was by my law clerk. He'd done a supplemental affidavit to the district court.
It wasn't in the initial round of affidavits for the summary judgment motion. It was done in a supplemental affidavit?
No, it should have been in the initial rounds.
What's your law clerk's name?
Would have been Jake Pendon was his affidavit was
okay.
Included in there.
I can go look at it.
But those should be in there. You know, they're not challenging those. If you go back directly to what the complaint is challenging, it's only challenging the city of Waverly's ordinance. It's not broad enough to challenge any city's ordinance. They were put in there for reference to say the city of Waverly is not an outlier, that in fact this is something other cities have done. One of the key points here that I think, you know, was not addressed at all during the appellate brief, and again, I didn't hear it during the argument this morning, was the Department of Health's letter to the district court. There is reference in their reply brief that this Department of Health letter should be given no weight, but that's not right. They are the Department of Health. They are the applicable agency. The court requested them. They submit a letter with legal analysis. They did that, and they said it sets forth their agency's position regarding the validity of the ordinance banning private water wells. And then, so we believe that this court should give that agency letter deference. And they really go through, they start the preemption analysis going through the preemption, the express preemption analysis, where they talk about the difference between 103I.25, 103I.11, and then how that interacts with Minnesota Statute 412.221, Subdivision 11, And the district court reviewed that, and it was one of the reasons the court upheld the city's ordinance. It's the city's position that that agency letter should be given deference and is very applicable here in how the agency determines the interaction between its groundwater rules and regulations, as well as what cities can do and what cities can regulate. And this really gets back to a regulation. They can regulate wells, they can regulate cisterns, they can regulate reserves. That's all within Minnesota Statute 412. The argument being raised, I think, with respect to express preemption is that the statute 103I.205 expressly prohibits the city's ordinance. And I view it just the opposite. 103I.25 talks about well notification under the subdivision preempts local permits and notifications. We don't have that in our ordinance. Our ordinance does not require any local permits or notifications. All we're saying is if you get information from the state or notification from the state, you let us know. We're not saying you need one of our permits or you need to provide us individual notification. We're just saying pass on what you receive from the state. So to say that statute expressly preempts our ordinance or what we can do under the ordinance is not accurate and is not reflected by the actual language of the statute. And again, under 103I.111, the preemption unless delegation. Again, looking at the expressed language of that statute, talks about political subdivision may not regulate the construction, repair, or sealing of wells or borings. We, again, are not doing that with the City of Waverly ordinance. We're only related to the regulation of it. You know, if you have access to city water, you need to connect to city water. If you don't, you can put in a well. So we're not prohibiting it, we're just setting forth, we're regulating how it can be done within the city of Waverly. We don't, that's not viewed as an express preemption. And then with regard to conflict or field preemption, again, the district court walked us through the analysis. We discuss it again in our motion papers. I think the issue is very clear. I'm not going to reiterate what is already contained in the motion papers. If the court has any questions on that preemption.
I don't. Do you? No?
No.
With that, the city would request the court affirm the district court decision, affirming the validity of the city's ordinance.
Thank you. Mr. Hansen?
Again, please.
Thank you. I want to make a couple points in response to the argument. Specifically, if the court has the briefs available, it's page 6 of the addendum is the actual copy of the ordinance.
Of your addendum.
Of my, yes, my briefs, my addendum 6. And I'm going to read it because I think it's important we understand what it says.
Can you tell us what you're reading? We have it in front of us.
All right.
Subpart A, B,
Subpart A, about midway through that, through subpart A, it says new private wells may be allowed on lots without reasonable access to city water upon proof that a permit for such well has been issued by the Minnesota Department of Health. And the argument that I heard put forward by the city is, you know, we don't have a notification provision, and yet I think that this language says exactly that, and more importantly, it allows for a check. The ordinance doesn't say who will or will not allow a well without reasonable access to water, but it's clearly implied in that language that A, you have to tell the city about it. B, you have to provide them with a copy of an approval from MDH, a notification and permit from MDH, and then even then may allow the well to go forward.
And if you're within 150 right. feet of the city water system, you're conclusively presumed to have access to a reasonable access to water, whatever the words
right.
are.
And so, you know, one of the things that I think this leaves open is if you're in 155 feet from city access, is that one where they will or will not allow you? And ultimately, the point of the regulatory scheme is they don't get to make that call.
Well, and what if the 150 feet is on the other side of property over which you do not have an easement to do anything?
And actually, some of those issues were fleshed out in Mr. Wotilla's deposition, which I know is part of the record. And there were some conversations with Mr. Wotilla about that there were areas of the city of Waverly where, due to geology, it was extremely difficult to actually be able to tie into city water. And I suspect strongly, although I have no proof, that when he went to the city council and said, we need to have this language in here, he built in knowing that those sorts of issues happen, that there are some where 150 feet seems like a good rule of thumb, but there is some discretion necessary. And the point I'm trying to make is simply that if the city wants that kind of discretion as to this, it's got to go through a delegation agreement. It doesn't have one. This ordinance isn't allowed, and that is absolutely an issue, which brings me to the other point that I wanted to raise, which I think goes to some of the issues that we were talking about at the start of this argument, which is if the court looks to paragraph 20 of the initial complaint, it says plaintiffs seek a declaratory judgment pursuant to 555.01, City of Waverly Ordinance 1704 is invalid, null, and void as local regulation of well construction. There's a typo, and is preempted by state statute. Regardless of Zach Nubby's well, this ordinance is still there, and anybody else cannot hire Mineral Service Plus or any other well digger to come in and put in a private well with this ordinance. I submit that that is the basis for jurisdiction here. Obviously, I will brief that more fully in the supplemental materials, but I do believe that that issue is properly before the court. The validity of this ordinance was challenged, and the court, the district court below, concluded, I believe wrongly, that it was not preempted by state statute. And our appeal is, at this point, really focused on, is it preempted or not by state law? And I would submit it is. And as I just read to you, I believe that you cannot square that language with the Groundwater Protection Act. As a consequence, we respectfully request that the court overturn the district court and determine that the City of Waverly's ordinance is preempted by state law. Thank you.
Thank you. And I just did a quick calendar check, and 10 days lands on the 24th, which is a Sunday. So let's have your supplemental briefing due the 25th Monday, and we'll get an order out with page or word limit.
Understood. Is that, just as a point of clarification, is the court looking for that to be a bound submission, or is this similar to the motion response?
It could be informal letter.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Do you have any other questions about the supplemental briefing before you leave? Okay. Thank you. It's an interesting case, as you can tell.